Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Here.
Grunch?
Here.
Needhammer?
Here.
Sansom?
Here.
Town?
Here.
Quorum present.
Our first item today is the consent agenda, and the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask at any of these items on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business. To receive full discussion, such requests will automatically be respected. And today we have two items, A and B, which are special minutes. If everybody's okay with it, I'll call for a motion.
Motion to approve as presented.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item of business is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items, and we ask you to limit the comments to 5 minutes. So, do we have anyone in the audience that wishes to comment on a non-agenda item? Don?
Yeah. I do a lot of walking. Over here on East Street, the bridge, there's a lot of traffic there and a lot of pedestrian traffic. And they don't plow that sidewalk going across the bridge. And I've watched people walking. That gets to be pretty dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Andy?
Just so the commission is aware, that is county responsibility, that bridge. I will put a call to them to see if they can do something about that situation.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that wishes to address the commission on a non-agenda item? Okay, moving forward, correspondence, I have none. Do we have any commissioners with correspondence they wish to share? Okay. City manager's report, Mike.
Just a couple items for today. The city's a new backhoe, and I didn't see if the echo unit had made it out there. I'm not seeing John here. Was it? Oh, they must have had a run or something of that nature, so that's one of the problems with trying to schedule that. Well, the backhoe was here for display this morning. The backhoe has been in operation for several weeks and is being well received by the staff. We're still doing some fine tuning on it. Some hooks need to be welded to the bucket, and they're doing some regular maintenance on it. The echo unit is being prepped and is real close to being ready to go out on the road for regular use as our replacement unit, having been moved over from the police department. The replacement police department car has been ordered and is expected to arrive sometime in April. We're not sure on the exact date yet, but we'll keep you posted on that. We're reviewing our revised streetlight maps and counts that were provided by Consumers Energy. We've been working with them for well over a year to update what we believe to be high light counts. Related to this, Consumers Energy is continuing to make plans to phase out their mercury vapor street lights. They're the bluish ones around town. Their preferred option is the high pressure sodium lights, which are orange in nature, and those are the kind that we phase out of our downtown and other public and private facilities over the last few years. I've asked them to look at whether other options we have available, and specifically with regards to LED, since they have long life and lower power usage characteristics. They consider those experimental lights because they don't have much history on them, but they are trying to come up with a cost estimate for it. So once they get some more information to us, we'll be bringing all of this to the City Commission probably within the next month. We have received and begun a review of preliminary information from C2AE regarding cost for paving unpaved streets throughout the city. We hope to be bringing that to the City Commission before the end of March and also incorporate that into our budget discussions. So as soon as we get that a little bit fine-tuned, we'll get that to you. We're getting closer to the Michigan Municipal League's annual capital conference. That'll be held April 10th. It's actually a two-day conference, and they do have the governor coming to speak on the evening of Tuesday the 9th. We need to try to go down and back in one day so we can avoid the cost of overnight lodging. The reason I'm mentioning it to you now, even though it's in April, is that discounted registrations are available through Thursday, March 14th. We have to have them in by that date to get the lower price. So if you're interested in going and can work it into your schedule, if you could please let Cindy know. It'd be great to have somebody to go along for that. Also, and I forward this with regards to an email as well, the Northern Lakes Economic Alliance has scheduled their annual luncheon for Friday, May 3rd. It'll be held this year in Petoskey versus out of Boyne Mountain, where it's been the last few years. We have a little bit more time on that, but if you can check your schedules, and again, let Cindy know if you're interested in attending. That's all I have for right now. If you have any questions on this or other items, please let me know.
Thank you, Mike. Any commissioners have questions?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Our next item today is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have our financial statement presented to us today. Do we have anyone with questions in regards to it? I've personally reviewed it myself, and I've checked with Cindy on a couple things, and it appears that our general fund is tracking as per our estimates, and things look pretty good. In fact, they look great.
They do.
Unfinished business, Kirtland update. I believe, Scott, are you handling that, or is Mike?
I have placed in the commission agenda packet a recommendation with regards to whether we want to keep the Kirtland update on the commission agenda going forward. As we discussed at our last meeting with the city attorney here, we've entered into a new phase. It's gone into the legal framework. We're not anticipating much happening on that. That would require commission updates or public information for the next couple months. We anticipate things to be happening on that towards April or so. So we went back a while, several months ago, the city commission approved a motion adding the Kirtland update to a regular part of the agenda for future agendas, including today's. And given the change in venue, that's gone to the courts from our own local boards and commissions, and the time frames involved, I don't see any benefit to the commission or the public in keeping this matter on future agendas. As events warrant, this matter could be reported on at future meetings, either during the manager's report or added as a separate item of business. And always, there's the opportunity for citizens to raise the topic during the citizens' comments. In short, if something does need to be discussed before the commission, there will still be plenty of opportunities, even without continuing the Kirtland update as a regular item on the agenda. So it's my recommendation that the city commission authorize staff to remove it from the agenda for future commission meetings. Options would be, obviously, to leave it on the agenda or something else, other options that the commission may consider. So this is completely discretionary, whether you wish to take any action on it or just leave it alone.
Thank you, Mike.
And I don't have anything of substance to report, and I don't know if Scott does either. It's pretty much the status quo since what's happened at our last meeting. Kirtland continues to operate generally during sometimes during the 5 days of the week, and they do are running the overnight. The matter is before the courts, and it's working its way through the process as previously reported by the city attorney.
Are they notifying us whenever they operate?
No, they have not been in communications with us regarding that since the Planning Commission action.
Thank you.
So we do have staff going out and checking it, usually a couple times a day. We have several residents, some of them that are here today, that are letting us know as well, too, with regards to it. And if there's something unusual, or either a sight or a sound or a smell, we usually send somebody out to check it out so we can document it, too.
Mm-hmm. And we're still logging all the complaints and
yes.
saving all those.
Correct.
Okay. Do we have any department heads or staff that wish to comment? Okay, at this time I'll open it up for citizens' comments. Mr. Nesson?
I'd just like to say it. I don't know what's happening up at Kirkman, but every day they get a little louder and louder. As you folks know, I do a lot of walking. This morning, way up on the top of Jefferson and Wildwood Harbor, I could hear them. They weren't loud up there, but I could hear them way up there. And last night, and all through the night last night, it was living hell at my house. I mean, super loud. Mm-hmm. I'd just like to, you know, let guys know. And I don't... We got to put up with this for 2-3 more months.
Thank you, Dan. Do we have anyone else that wishes to comment in regards to the Kirkland product? Yes, sir.
Nick, we've got 43 and 75 one city. I would just also like to concur that last night, it was very loud again last night. And I could hear it through the house. I normally keep the TV volume about 12. I put it up to 38, and it's still going over the TV sound. It sits directly south from my house, so it's right across the river. And I can still see the stack going at night. So my only question also I'd like to ask is it up to us to monitor that they run when they're running to communicate that to you? Or do you have something that's going to keep the tabs on it? Because how is the city going to be reimbursed if it goes to the courts and they fine in favor of the city? How do you know how much fines to be levied? You know, I think that's one of the questions I have for you guys have that consideration.
Well, as far as court action and punitive damages, I don't have an answer for you, but anytime they operate, we are logging that and keeping track and also tracking all complaints, both negative and positive. Mike?
As the city attorney reported at our last meeting, and I think Scott reported on as well too, we have cited them with regards to a violation of the city codes with regards to operating without the permit. That has been filed and that process has been started through the legal framework, and that's one of the reasons that we're tracking as to how many days they're operating so we can inform the judge of that when it gets to that point. So we should know. We've certainly wanted, we have no problems, and we kind of, you know, appreciate any additional information that we get from other people. So it's up to your discretion if you want to call us or not.
Do we have anyone else that wishes to comment in regards to Kirkland products? Commissioners, let's start with Laura. Do you have any comments today?
My only comments is I keep hearing about the noise level, and I've gone up there myself a few times this past couple of weeks, and it's been really noisy. I've noticed that myself. It seems maybe more so than in the past, and whether it's because it's winter and the way it carries or whatever, but it just seems to be a lot more volume to it. As far as dropping it off our agenda, I've been back and forth in my own mind on it. I think as long as we, if anything does come up, that we put it back on the agenda immediately so that the public knows. I think for the next couple of months there's probably not going to be a whole lot except for complaints from people who are, you know, listening to it and having problems in their homes with it. So my feeling would be as long as we, as a commission, bring it back before the public, if there is anything to report at that point in time, that'll probably be late April, early May, from what my understanding was. I'd be okay, I think, with dropping it off at this point. There's nothing we can do.
Thank you, Laura. Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. Apparently Laura and I are on the same wavelength on this because I vacillated between keeping it on there for the sake of the appearance of transparency, which you know, it's important. I think that was the main reason we got in there to begin with, so everybody could keep updated as to what's going on. My thought process for going the other way to dropping it is, as already been mentioned by Mike and Commissioner Sansom, is there are other mechanisms for updates through Mike and the citizens, or the commissioners, in a moment's notice or whatever. So if something big is, an announcement has to be made, that can be added to the agenda within the legal limit of when the meeting is. So I would like to solicit input from the two gentlemen that spoke today, comment on this. What is your feeling, if you wish to give me some feedback on, you know, is it, have it taken off as a regular, just to say nothing to report this meeting, nothing to report, with the ability to, if something transpires through legal matters or otherwise, are you fine with the ability to have that brought up at a moment's notice? Okay. Okay. And that's the direction I was leaning for that too. So I think, again, that there's, as long as there's mechanisms where it's not like the public is not going to be informed in totality, then we should be fine with that.
All right. Thank you, Derek. Gene?
I'm okay with the recommendation, long as it, I agree with everything else that's been said. Long as it stays open to citizens' comments, I'm okay with it.
Tom?
I'm in favor of taking it off the agenda because I think what it does is it gives people a false appearance that it's going to be a discussion item. And I don't think it is a discussion item for the foreseeable future. So I think that through other means we can communicate when it needs to be on the agenda. And with that in mind, I got some other ideas here, but we can talk about that later. So,
thank you.
Near the end.
I'm also in favor of leaving it off the regular agenda item. Do you want a motion on that? Was that previously a motion?
I believe it was. Yes. Yep. I think it was, so I think it'd be have an opening and a closing to it that we can track to the record review program.
Okay, we'll call for a motion then.
I'll move that the City Commission authorize staff to remove the Kirtland update from future City Commission meeting agendas.
Can we make a change in addition to that recommendation? Just a minor one that, as the events warrant, it will be added back into the agenda?
If the Commission would like,
yes.
Okay. I concur with that. I concur. Okay. And who seconded it?
I'll second it, based on that.
Roll call.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Next item today is the Douglas Street Reconstruction. Consideration to approve the preliminary design of Douglas Street Reconstruction Project as presented and direct the staff to advertise for bids to complete the project. And this time, I believe, Andrew, you've taken care of that summary.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Mayor. The commission should have my memo from them, just a few of the elements of the project. So you can see, we have a 22-foot wide asphalt road surface, much like we did with Hannah and Charlotte Boy Streets. Upgraded the storm system to take care of some of the water flow issues on that south drainage district. New water main, sewer main, and leaves as necessary. We're going to install a 5-foot wide concrete sidewalk right at the back of the curb. Not something we usually like to do. Unfortunately, in this case, due to grade issues in the area, that's about the only way we'll be able to get a sidewalk in there. So. And we're also planning to close the section of Douglas. That little triangle there by between Cedar and Pleasant, close the roadway there, providing driveway access to the home resident in that area who lives close to Pleasant. So, we had a public information meeting on the 13th here in this room, or I'm sorry, in the old public information chambers, and all the local residents, 5 of them, that live on that street attended. Overall, they were pretty happy with the project. There was some concerns at the north end of the project with the sidewalk location and access, the parking access, and also a fence that they thought might have been had to be moved, but it turns out that we don't really feel it's going to be an issue. I reported in my memo that Larry stated it'd probably be 20 feet. He did some real hard measuring. It'd be 23 feet from the back of the sidewalk to that person's garage. So we really don't feel it's going to preclude any parking. And there'll be a green space between the sidewalk and their wood picket fence there. So I think the project's a good idea as designed. If anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer. And also, Amanda Point from C3E is here too, if there's anything she could answer.
Thank you, Andy. Do we have any comments from staff or department heads? Mike, do you have any comments?
No, I was at the same meetings that Andy was at. I think he summarized the comments. A little bit clearer on this picture here. This is the house that had the most questions with regards to the project. Here's where the sidewalk is shown right along the curb line. This line here is the property line. That's normally where we would put the sidewalk. Their picket fence is basically much closer to the edge of the road. But since we're keeping the sidewalk along the edge of the road here, mainly because of some of the grade issues in this area, we didn't see that as being a problem. And I think once that was communicated back to them, both that and the driveway issue kind of disappeared.
No, we've had no further comment back from that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Andy. Do we have any citizens' comments in regards to the Douglas Street project? Okay, we'll move to commissioners. Tom, would you like to, or do you have any questions?
I'm in favor of moving forward. I mean, it's been through the proper process. We had a need. We had a staff go through the process of approving it. We hired the firm to engineer it properly. We had the public discussions and meetings. So I and the money is budgeted. So with all that being said, I think the logical thing is to proceed as recommended.
Thank you, Tom. Jane?
I agree with Tom. I think we should move forward with it, and I support your recommendation.
Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did not have the drawings in my commission packet, so I have not been able to spend time evaluating the details, because the devil is always in the details. I have kind of a rough outline here. Commissioner Needhammer mentioned the need. I would like to, on that topic, I would like to have some more discussion and input from either the C2AE representative or Andy on, again, how we got here and what has precipitated the discussion to change the storm drain. Is this recurring, you know, weekly in the summer, every time it rains, it would overflow, causing a problem? You know, a nice chunk of money here, so I would need to find the need. And had some discussions, but I think I'd like to have a little more detailed feedback on someone that says, why did we have to put a new storm drain in there? What was the cause or what precipitated us to get to this point? So I'm not sure who can take that request at this point, but...
I don't know. I think the need in my mind is very clear, and you know, when you've got 36 inch or a 30 inch storm drain dumping into a 12, you got a problem. But when you get a certain volume of water, it packs up, and Division Street is the problem area. And, but is there anything else to add to that?
I'll take a stab at it, you know, and I'm sure Amanda can fill in where I'm maybe lacking in some details, but. You know, quite a few years back, they did some expansion of the storm sewer farther uphill, I guess you'd call it, from where this project is located, with the thought of getting back within a few years to enlarge it because they knew they had it. Since that time, we've added some increased stormwater flow into that system, and we redid Division Street. There's now more volume coming down that pipe, and trying to go to, at this point, right above a 24-inch pipe, into a 12.
And, you know, we get a lot of heavy, we get those really, really heavy rains. We have issues with that, the pipe upstream not being able to store enough water in it, because a lot of times the pipe will act as a storage system. That water is backing up into pipes and the head pressure is lifting the manhole covers up.
How often does that occur?
Four times this past summer. There's those really heavy downpour, short period of rainfall.
Okay.
And as we build into the future, we're going to be adding more into the system as we increase our storm sewer capacity on the south end of town. If we don't fix it now, we'll be fixing it then for sure. Because we'll, you know, have increased capacity coming into the system once again.
For the record, could you explain a little more on what the ramifications are on this four times a year event? What is... You said it lifts the sort of the cover there, but what damage is being done, and what are the consequences of not acting on this that the citizens of Boyne City in that area have been experiencing?
We had some localized flooding of some of the people's homes or buildings in that area. And we also had some flooding down in the lowlands that have come close to causing other issues to the west.
Okay. And we have these on file then?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't seen those. So just curious about that. I'm not discounting, I'm just saying this is the first time hearing we've had actual complaints of flooding in the grasslands on this. Twice we talked about it. Can you elaborate on one more?
I don't know what you'd like me to elaborate on.
How often do they complain? Barb?
I take a lot of these complaints as part of the street project, and there have been several citizens that come in on a regular basis when we have this rain, and actually Jerry Gregenbrink has come and spoke to the commission, to you guys, about the flooding and the damage that's been done to his home on Division Street.
On the back up at the top?
That's correct.
Okay. And is that, like, it's going to solve that Division Street issue? You're confident in that on this project?
Yes, I am.
And maybe the rep from C2AE?
Yes, it's simply a downstream capacity issue. We're trying to put too much storm water from too big of a storm sewer in, it's necking down too small. So when we increase that to a 36 inch, we get rid of that roadblock, if you will, for storm water. It just simply doesn't have the capacity to handle the amount of water that's seen right now.
Okay. Doesn't it, the south end of it have, or the west end of it have a 90 degree turn also?
Yep. Yes, it currently does. The 12 inch that comes down and ends abruptly turns 90 degrees, and we're going to be straightening that out as well. Yep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Could you describe, straighten it out and increasing, what additional mechanisms? Is it just going to be straightening the pipe out and tying into another existing line already there on Upper Pleasant?
I could show you that if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay. Currently, the pipe that comes down Douglas Street, when it hits Cedar, it makes it basically a 90-degree turn going towards the, let me get my directions, I think that's the west. Then it does another turn here to tie into the larger storm sewer pipe on Pleasant Street as well. With the rerouting and the new pipe that comes down, this will all be enlarged pipe coming down Douglas Street from Lincoln going to the north. And then instead of making this 90-degree turn here, it'll come out in a much more gradual turn, a lot straighter through the road right-of-way that we'll end up removing, or is proposed to be removed, and then tie into the Pleasant Street line out at this location here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just going to tee right in at that point?
Correct. So we're getting basically rid of almost two tees off of that.
And will the downstream on Pleasant be able to handle the increased flow from changing the pipe size at the lower level?
Yes.
So we're not going to have another backup issue now that we've increased the flow rate to get to that location?
No.
Okay.
So we're going to have a 30-inch storm drain going into a 30-inch?
It's a 36-inch. I think we're putting a 36-inch in.
It says, I think, 36.
We are proposing a 36-inch storm sewer down Douglas Street, and that will tie into Pleasant, where there is an existing 36-inch outlet.
That will just follow the normal path right on out, like it always does right now. No additional treatment necessary, anything like that, correct?
Right. Good.
Well, we looked at the additional treatment options, and one of the things we looked at was possibly doing something at this location here. So I don't want to say no additional treatment isn't necessary. If it makes sense to do it, it might be something we want to do later on in like Peninsula Beach, where we have some room to work with, and we can handle multiple issues rather than the one that we have now.
But right now, it's just straight shot right on down through them. And I read the notes on the where the cut across will be eliminated on the roadway, and everybody in that area is fine with that. Yes. And Chief, is that going to be a issue, a benefit, or a non-starter?
I don't think it's really going to be an issue.
Okay. So the traffic just goes straight out to Pleasant instead of cutting across the...
Cutting across. There are barricades up there now.
Right.
And they're temporary. I haven't heard of any complaints really.
With regards to that, we specifically raised that issue at the meeting when we had the public there.
Sure.
And they thought they saw some slight improvements. Now, they weren't sure how much of that was, time of the year related, sure. But they did seem to think that there was less traffic on it. It might be going a little bit slower.
Okay.
And also, we had some questions as to how are we going to handle that area where we're taking the road out. Because we'll still be keeping the road right away because we'll be having the sewer line in it. So we're not changing anything from a legal standpoint. And our thought process was basically leave this alone for a couple years. So if for some reason it doesn't work out, we haven't put in a bunch of trees or things of that nature, we can come back and put the road in later.
What would be the actual mechanism for blocking that off to vehicular traffic? What would the appearance be?
It's
curb across there, or what we have? What's that? See, I didn't have this diagram, but it probably would answer my question.
The current plan right now is just to basically remove the road from that intersection to the north down to Pleasant Street. That would just be everything taken out of there and planted back as grass.
So what you're going to see, Derek, is there'll be two curb returns tying in with the new curb going up Pleasant Street. There will not be a curb at this location here, but they will be seen. There'll be signage, probably one of those yellow double arrow signs, so people know that they can't go straight through at that location.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll just be grassed. So if for some reason we find out of 2 years down or 3 years down the road that it really wasn't such a good idea,
sure,
we're not having to pull out any curb or waste anything of that nature. So it'll look like parkland after it's established. We might, like we did out at Great Lakes Energy, depending on how it looks when we're out there working on the project, we might set up some temporary barricades. You may recall a few years ago, at MDOT's request, we relocated the entrance for Great Lakes Energy from M75 to Mall Drive. And we worked with them and we put some of our barricades out there after we closed it up and took up the parking area, or the drive area, and planted it with grass. We put something in there because we thought, okay, old habits die hard, and somebody might just start driving through there. So we kind of put some initial stuff out there, and then we backed that off as time and people got used to the new patterns. So we may be doing that. At the other end, it should look more like a residential driveway. But again, we're going to have to kind of eyeball that as we're doing it and take a look at it, because it's going to be concrete and it'll be scaled, so it'll be different than a road. But we may want to put some signage up there to let people know that it is different than what it used to be, especially when we have a lot of people coming up, depending on when we're doing this, that maybe are some of our summer visitors who haven't had a chance to experience the barricade during the winter.
Well, that's why I asked the question, how are we blocking that out so people don't just go make a left-hand turn like they've always made, coming up Pleasant and then drive across the grass or whatever is left behind there. So
I've heard that the lady that lives here might like enjoy some additional visitors, so,
Sure. Right. So you're going to address it through signage and temporary blockades for a while till people get used to it, at least in the beginning of the summer months.
Probably. That's kind of what we're thinking of right now. We're going to, you know, a little bit of that. I'm thinking more so from this side with people coming down. Right. I'm thinking that's going to be a more critical location. And this one, you know, I don't want to really junk it up too much if it looks residential. But we'll have to, that one. I'm saying we're kind of going to play that one a little bit by ear. I'll know it when I see it.
Well, we need some sort of plan. You can't just leave dirt there and.
No, it'll look like a finished product. Whether we put a barricade or a sign, that's a that can be handled fairly quickly.
Okay. And another comment that mentioned about that little triangle putting it in the park or something. I have some safety concerns about that with putting something right in the middle of the traffic area right there, and then. Yeah, that's all I need to say on that. I mean, if it's just grass, that's fine, but to add and create an attraction out of it in the middle of the roadway there, I think that would be counterproductive for safety issues.
Yeah, other than seating at this point, we're not looking to do anything else. And again, that's another one where I think we need some experience before we come back with any recommendation for changes. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think we've addressed particularly the need and the straightforward design, citizen feedback that will be directly affected. The engineers have worked through that. It follows our model with improvements to infrastructure, street, curb and gutter, etc., which we continue to get positive feedback on. So that's all I have for now. Thank you.
Lauren?
Well, my feeling is there's a problem that needs fixing, and it sounds like this is probably a good fix. I like returning pavement to green space. I'm all in favor of that. And if there's no opposition in the neighborhood, I'm all for that. My only question is, it says some trees may need to be removed. They're not in the best of shape. How many trees would that be? And just out of curiosity.
There should be about 7 to 8 trees that need to be removed.
Okay.
There may be one or two more. Depends on, you know, how we have to move a couple things to make things work. About midway up on the east side.
Okay.
There might be a conflict with the tree and the water main there.
All right.
But we'll try our best to work around that.
Okay. Appreciate that. Hopefully within the next couple of years we can add some trees back in somewhere in that area, whether it's specifically on that spot or somewhere around that area. So, yes.
With regards to that issue, that was another area we specifically discussed with the residents when we mm-hmm. had the last meeting.
Okay.
We made sure that if any of them were interested in new trees, whether it's where a tree is being removed or in other locations in there,
okay.
you know, have them get in touch with Andy. We tried to make sure that they knew that that was an option available if they were looking okay. for additional trees.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
I'm also in favor of moving ahead with the project. And thank you, Derek, for bringing up the discussion on the triangle piece of property, because that was my question, and it's sure. I think it's been well thought out. So, call for a motion.
I move that the City Commission approve the preliminary design and Central Street reconstruction project as presented, and direct staff to advertise for bids to complete the project.
In a second.
Roll call.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, next item today is the Waterworks Building Historical Display and funding for it. So consideration to support the Waterworks Historic Display Project was developed by the Charlevoix County Historic Preservation Society Committee. Authorize staff to provide the necessary letters of support, grant preparation support, and budget for the requested $500 match in this coming year's fiscal budget. And I believe we have two guests with us today, Sue and Helen.
Georgianne.
Georgianne, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners.
I'm currently the vice president of our Chicago County History Preservation Society, and Susan charter member and has been acting as our interim fundraising chair for putting this grant together. And briefly, you know, since the whole project was launched in 2008, we've been very supportive of the restoration of the 1910 Waterworks building. And we have stayed committed to putting a historical display in that front area. And along with what the city has already done with the manhole cover, which will be the time capsule. And so Susan Fondren has put a lot of time into grant applications that we would like your support to go ahead and submit. Susan will explain further, and I'll be here to answer any questions you may have as well about the display itself.
Thank you, Jennifer. Two of the main people we'd like to get money from this county is the Shelby County Community Foundation and the People's Grant on the Great Lakes, and both of their staff members have received a commitment from the local government. So we thought this was a fair amount, and hopefully that would be enough. That would be what we need to make an impact for our community, to appreciate the history. Positive things about that beautiful building that you have restored, and it's wonderful use for walkers right now, and we just want those walkers. We plan to connect with the school to realize it's there if this all goes through, so we can connect the youth too. Perhaps if we have a poster contest in the future, at least have one of the displays for the children's artwork would be up there interchangeably. So that's what our plan is, and we hope we need a resolution that you agree that we can break the grants.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Terri-Ann. Do we have any staff comments? Mike?
These ladies have been involved in the process from the very early days when we were trying to figure out, you know, what the building could possibly be used for, and before we had any of the grants lined up and things of that nature. And it's always been a goal to have a historical element to the building, not just the building itself, but some artifacts and some displays inside or around the building that would help people have a link to its over 100 years history with the community. You have the memo that I assembled before you that kind of outlined, you know, the other grant, other sources of funds they were looking to have, that the grants start to become due. I think the Shelby County Community Foundation grant is the first one on March 1st. And again, in addition to the resolution, they wanted to make sure that we were okay with budgeting $500 to be used as a match if they're successful in getting these grants, and to have staff help them on a reasonable level with regards to doing some of the paperwork and submitting that. We as staff don't have a problem with it. We just want to make sure this is all in the appropriate for the city commission.
Thank you, Mike. Do we have any additional staff comments or department head comments? Do we have any citizens' comments? Okay, we'll move to board discussion then. Gene, do you want to start?
No, I have no questions on this. I fully support the recommendation.
Derek?
Thank you. Is our own historical society involved in this in any way, shape, or form?
Is the what historical society?
Our own historical society for the city involved in this project in any way?
I
didn't see that mentioned.
No, I reviewed the recommendation with Michelle, who's basically the liaison for our museum and the historical,
yes.
And she was in full support of this recommendation. They don't have an active role in it at this point. It's been the Historic Society and the representatives here today that have been kind of leading the charge on it. But we've tried to coordinate them throughout the process. I know Susan and Georgiana have been in and working with Michelle and going through our archives, both here, also looking at resources at the library and things of that nature to try and build a history for the thing. So they've been working together, but it's kind of under the lead of these folks.
All right. And the reason I asked, it didn't reflect it in our information package.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I thought about that. I should have had Michelle initial off on this as well, too, and that probably might have answered your question.
Yeah.
So I guess I should have.
We got an address, though. I wasn't on the commission when the 1910 building project started, so I'm not sure of what in the very beginning was the overall concept other than just the building itself. Do you have any drawings or sketches or layouts or something so I can visualize what you're... I mean, I'm hearing what you're saying, but to visualize what we're going to...
Well, at this point, we've put a lot of time into... I don't have a model for you.
Okay.
And there's some reasons for that. We've worked a lot with a scale drawing, of the walls. We had to wait till every little piece of equipment was installed, obviously.
Right.
Because we didn't know where drinking fountains and thermostats were actually going to be. But the proposal is to basically create... using frames that can be interchanged easily and mounted. We've put a lot of time into investigating how much we want to put into vandal-proof type displays.
Sure.
Obviously, we don't have somebody there to monitor, like you would in a museum or other public facility. But it's kind of come down to... how much money can we afford to put into it? There is nothing that's vandal-proof, as you know. And so what will look good, look nice, be relatively easy to completely replace if we need to. And so because I work in the framing industry, picture framing conservation industry, I've done a lot of research on what will look good, be relatively inexpensive to replace, and what's interchangeable. So we've been down that road without showing you diagrams of that. Along one wall, we're looking at the history of Blaine City and how it interfaces with the 1910 Waterworks building. On the side where the drinking fountain is, basically a history of the restoration process. We have stacks of things that we have found. We work a lot with Cindy with the old records. A lot of it involves getting good digital reproductions made and how large. If the resolution isn't very good, we can't make the print very large. I do a lot of that work, and Mike has offered with the city to help us with some of that, too. So we've tried to come up with a reasonable amount for costs on that. The history of the restoration itself has been a great history. The awards that the city has won for the restoration of the building, I mean, the whole gamut, it's on the historic register. So there, we have a lot of that kind of information. We've spent hours and hours going through the old newspapers, working at the library. We have found some incredible artifacts of history. Another part, Dan Meads had the pipes and valves. He's got them at the Waterworks plant. We've done research on the history of those, as well as what it would cost to just restore them and have a display of those. In one corner, I do have a working layout here. The donors and supporters of this project all along, it's been a little tricky trying to trace everybody that's made monetary and time support donations, but we've done a pretty good job of that. If you recall, there was a fundraiser party also in 2010 for the building. Our organization, we're a 501c3, we're very new. We've only been a 501c3 since 07, so, but we have several organizations that have already contributed money, and we hold that in separate accounts, specifically our monthly 1910 historical display. I think we're almost up to around $400 on that. And so there'll be a donor plaque. We also have the weights from the window, the old weights. City bench, one of the old city benches, Mike said there are several. We originally wanted to use some of the floorboard. There was no floorboard, if you recall, in the process left after the restoration process to build a bench that. So we would like to incorporate that. We have some of the bricks, and they're significant just because of the structure of this building. There's also the architectural and historical architect's report that, So there's a lot of material. It's just, we've got it categorized now. It's just a matter of how can we put it all together so that it, you know, makes a good display. I still need to work with Cindy to actually get the covering off of those books that we need to digitize because she was looking for the key. I mean, it's been a process, but we have a lot of wonderful information. And then last but not least, we wanted to do something that incorporated youth involvement. And not just a one-time shot, but an ongoing basis. So we came up with the idea of possibly holding an art fair, opening it up to any school-age child in the community who would like to submit some kind of artwork that depicts how important water is to life in general and to the community, and have some of the artists in the area as judges. And that's something that SHIPS, which is what we call our Charlotte Roy County History Preservation Society, would do. So something to bring the community awareness each year and involve youth. So does that kind of help answer your question to visualize things?
Better than when we started. So basically you're going to be, other than the potential valves or the weights, et cetera, and bricks, you're looking at like secure picture frames, correct? Is that the general model here for a visual, pictorial display type thing? And obviously you came up with a budget of $7,000, so you kind of price, and you can't build a budget if you don't know the direction where you're going. Would that be correct?
So. And because I've worked with all sorts of different support mechanisms for art displays, you know, I know an average, using the wall spaces and everything that we have, and kind of the size of each piece and ideas, how much, an estimate of how much it would cost. You know, you shoot high and you hope, and if we don't get anywhere near what we want, we have a couple of people who are willing to probably make some donations so that it will work. So we're going to do it. We're going to get it done because we made the commitment and promise to the city to do it. So we need your approval. It's your bill.
Right. And then the 500, the notation here that says, where did I read that? That they want to have the money from the city kicked in to show our sincerity in the project. Is that an appropriate way of describing it? A little skin in the game, so to speak.
Susan's department with grant writing.
The reason why we need $7,000 is it's $2,000 for consultant fees and professional fees, $3,000 for all that equipment you just heard Virginia talk about, the mounting, and about $1,500 for the printing and digitizing. And that is $200 for postage, possibly, and marketing for the future.
And I guess my last question, because you brought up, you're in the, been involved in picture frame, you're not selling any or making anything on either one of these? Okay.
That's all.
Sure.
Yeah. Individual and kind.
Okay.
Gotten used to it, but it works. we want it to be something that the city will be very proud of, too, in the community. So we don't want to just. We have looked at so many options in the last. How many months? everything from talking to all the artists about murals depicting, what did the town look like in 1910? Well, they need the money in the form of, sometimes $1,000 to do a small mural. So we just sort of got to where, how can we make this work and also make it look really nice? Consider the vandal proof issue, which, I think, luckily, we live in one city,
Okay. All right. Thank you for your information.
Thank you.
I'm all
set. Laura?
I guess my questions are, what is your target for completing the project?
The end of this year.
So our next budget is what you're asking us to contribute from. I was wondering if that was timely enough for you. Do you need that in advance of our settling our next budget, which won't be until?
Especially for the approval of the grants, I think.
Okay.
We have it today. They ask you if you have it. I sent this granted March 1st, and March 15th meeting, but I have had to talk to both of the staff members about this excessively.
Okay.
So they pretty much know what our plans are.
I was just wondering if there's any way we can commit to it prior to our next year's budget.
With the sum of money that we're talking about, I don't see it as a major issue.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah. So if something comes up, assuming that the commission does want to go forward with this plan and basically says that we will come up with the money for it, if they come up with something that says that they need it prior to the end of this fiscal year, we can make that an amendment to the existing year's budget.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, based on their time frame and their projected time of completion of the project. It's a nominal amount that you're asking for, and very minimal. I don't see how we would say no. That's just finishing up what's a very nice project at this point. So I guess that would be my only question. Hopefully that will be enough to complete it. If not, you'll come back and ask us again. Okay.
I'm in full support of just putting the finishing touches on a success story, and us spending $500 is actually being a match, and it's worth more than $500, so that's good news. So I'm in full support.
I'm also in full support of it, and I'd just like to give Georgiana and Susan a special thank you for being spearheaders and these projects and the passion that you have for Boyne City, and from the beginning of the project to where we are today. So my appreciation and personal thanks.
Yep. We all say thank you.
I call for a motion.
I'll move that we support the Waterworks Historical Display Project as developed by the Charlevoix County Historical Preservation Society Committee, and authorize staff to provide the necessary letters of support, grant preparation support, and budget for the requested $500 match in this coming fiscal year's budget.
Second. Roll call, please.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Our next item on the agenda today is 2013 Marina seasonal and transient rates. Consideration approved charging the same rates as 2012 for both transient and seasonal for fiscal year 2013 and 14 instead of the proposed increased Michigan Waterways Commission rates.
and allows staff to adjust the rates for transient boaters within the season and offer discounted group rates. So, this time, I guess, Barb, would you take care of the summary for us?
Thank you. This is part of the, it will end up being part of the fee schedule. It's coming in advance of the budget because we have to send out invoices prior to budget season, for the coming boat season. Waterways generally increases their rates by a small percentage. Sometimes it's a couple years in a row, and then they might go a couple years without. They are proposing a slight increase for this coming year, but with some of the issues we have at the marina, with maintenance of some of the docks, with some of the dredging issues, the low water, some of the planned construction, I'm in the mind thought that we should leave the rates the same as last year and not increase them until we can get some of these things done. And then look at using the water, whatever waterways proposes for the 2014 season.
Thank you, Barb. Do we have any additional comments from staff, department heads, or city manager?
Oh, the only other comment I'd have is that in addition to Barb's memo, she did provide you the existing rate schedule, the 2012 rates for both transient and seasonal users, and then also the proposed rates for 2013 from the State Waterways Commission for transient with our category C listed, and also the seasonal rates shown for our area. We have those taken care of.
Thank you, Bob. Do we have any citizens' comments in regards to marina rates for 2013? Okay, we'll move to the commission. Tom?
Yes, I'm in full support, and just again for disclosure, I do keep my pontoon boat at the dock, so I do pay the going rate. So.
Jane?
I agree with Barb on this, with water level dredging. The time on this isn't to increase the rates. So.
Derek?
Thank you. I just want to go back and address the information that basically we have to follow the rate schedule, but they've granted us a waiver. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. I like the concept. Maybe we continue applying that all the way across the board for all of our fees and costs and taxation, the whole nine yards. Everybody's got to tighten their belt up, and the fact that they're allowing this to happen, I'm fine with that.
Laura? I accept Barb's recommendation. I think it's probably wise at this point.
I also accept the recommendation and call for a motion.
I move to continue to charge the same rates as 2012 for both transit and seasonal rates for 2013, 2014, instead of what is currently proposed in 2013 waterways rate structure. Allow staff to adjust rates for transit boaters within the season and offer discounted group rates.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay, the next item is marina renovation project. Consideration to allow Evan Marsh to submit a joint MDEQ and USAC application for marina renovation to the city's, on the city's behalf, including the $500 application fee. Number two, consideration to approve the city manager to sign and submit a joint application to the MDEQ and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for maintenance dredging within the harbor And consideration to allow staff to solicit proposals for this professional service without going through the formal bid process as allowed by city charter and bring recommendations back to the city commission. And I believe, Barb, you're handing that summary on that also.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the layout of the original proposed marina that was submitted in the application back in 2008.
Which one's that going to be, Barb? Which one? Let me go to the other end.
Well, this project actually goes back to 2007 when the city worked with Adam Marsh at that time to come up with the marina expansion plan. We went through, I wasn't here at the time, but there were many public hearings. It was brought to the commission, it was took in the plan commission. They had work sessions, public organizations that would come and sit through it and be part of the organizing. The city submitted a permit to the DEQ and Army Corps for that renovation. After review, it was denied. And they listed about 12 items that they had some concerns with, and that was the basis of their denial. The city at that time, there we go, that's what was submitted back in 2008. Mm-hmm. The city had an opportunity to contest the denial, and basically that puts it in a contested case where you can work informally with the agencies to come up with some alteration of the plan that works for both parties. We've been going through that process for the last couple years. We actually got into it where we brought Adam Marsh back in, as you approved a few months ago. Sat back down with the DEQ with what we thought was a good alternate plan. The only problem with the alternate plan was that because of our water levels now, it had to include dredging. Dredging was not a part of the initial permit. So basically they said that we either had to adjust our contested case to not include dredging or start all over with a new permit. So because we received a grant, well, it's been almost a year, year and a half ago, to address the shopper's dock and our fixed docks that sit so high out of the water. It was our thought that what we would do is take the contested case and address those immediate needs and turn that contested case and those plans into just that. And then as we work our way through the overall plan, go back with a whole new permit application. If we try to push all of that through now, it would hold things up, it could be denied again, and then we could stand to lose the grant money that we already have to move forward with the two minor projects. So this request basically is to allow Abbott Marsh to submit revised plans on the city's behalf, not for the overall renovation, but just what needs to be addressed with the fixed docks and the shopper's dock. There's an error on the recommendation on the agenda. There is not a $500 fee. That fee was paid when we submitted the permit back in 2008. That fee actually is meant to be down with the dredging part, but that application would require a $500 fee.
Okay. And we've been approved for $105,000 for dredging?
That is
a grant?
That is correct.
But we still have to apply for it? Is that the...
We have to apply for and permit to dredge.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that later. I don't know if you want me to stop here and if you've got questions regarding this part or keep going through the whole, I don't want to muddy the waters by going on before we're ready.
Well, if you're going to dredge, you're going to muddy the waters.
Yeah.
All right.
Good one.
So then that brings us to the dredging permit. As the mayor just stated, we were actually awarded a grant for $105,000 from the Michigan Waterways for dredging. It's an emergency dredge fund. The grant has a zero match, so it's 100% funded. The eligible expenditures are permitting, engineering, and dredging and disposal of the dredge materials. I just found out this morning that it's not included in the information that I put in the packets. What they're doing is trying to streamline this process, and you have an option of administering the grant yourself and the project yourself. If a community doesn't have the means to do that, the state will step in and do that for you. But basically, they said that on a local level, we could do it much more efficient than the state could do it. Mm-hmm. And so to have them come in and try to manage the project, we would be looking at a real long process, mm-hmm. if you can imagine that. So basically, they're saying we can incur costs now. We won't have a grant agreement for 2 to 3 months, but they do guarantee the funding, and they said go ahead and start. You do have to have an engineer to quantify the amounts and things like that. But they said until it's signed into legislation, they can't give us a grant agreement, which means there can't be any reimbursement. So if we started now, it would be on our own dime. And then as far as the, and it's kind of a catch-22, because as far as the permit to dredge, they want you to get that in as soon as possible. Some of the information that they need in the permit, the timing of us trying to provide those is not the best time with the lake being frozen with some of the sediment samples and things of that nature, but it can be done, and we're working our way through that. My concern is that the timing, DEQ generally does not allow dredging between May 15th and July 15th. They also are allowed a 90-day review period, so even if I were to submit this dredge application tomorrow, they have 90 days to review it, which puts us close to or beyond the window of time for dredging. They know that this is all going on for a lot of communities. They're trying to push those applications through as quickly as possible and get that process done. And they're also looking at trying to relax the timing of when dredging can occur. But it's all still kind of up in the air, and we're just trying to work our way through it as we go. And again, that application is a $500 application fee. And there would be added costs as far as, like I said, trying to get the sediment samples and things like that. Although they're saying that those are all expenditures that can be covered in the grant. It's just we're going to have to pay for them up front. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. We're just making notes. Okay. So
with that said, meeting this dredging application, this permit application, one of the things that's required in it is sediment sampling. And I've talked to some different firms about this, best way to handle it, who can do it the fastest type of thing. And then after talking with someone from Waterways and the DNR today, they're saying that we have to have an engineer on board to do a lot of this. So the sediment sampling, we need to get done sooner than later. They won't issue a permit without it being done. I would like a little leeway in working with these firms, trying to figure out who can get it done the fastest without it costing us a lot of money. if we put it out to bid, by the time we come up with bid documents, advertise it, that could be set a 2-3 week process easily. I'd like to come up with working with an engineering firm, probably Avon Marsh, being they've already got a lot of this information because of the other project that they're working on, come up with a list, some criteria, a list of a few questions that we can submit and give these people, you know, a week to turn it around back to us and make a decision at that point, and then I would bring that back to the commission in the form of a recommendation so we can move forward. And that's basically it in a nutshell. I do have some maps that show the dredge area that we would be filling out the permit for. That whole area does not need to be dredged in entirety. You can see a little bit on there where some of the low areas are. We would be looking at dredging that area for sure. That's very shallow. And then up basically around the rocks, the riprap, right through there. They allow dredging up to 13 and a half feet. That's considered recreational boating dredging depths. We're at that in a few places. The entire marina, my thought is that the entire marina does not have to have those depths, but you need to have those depths in some places for some of the boats. Mm-hmm. Those were depths that were taken in August. As we all know, the water is down in a good 12 to 18 inches at least, probably since those were taken. So you can see some of the areas of concern there. Mm-hmm. And the boat launch certainly is an issue. At this point, it was 4 foot back in August. And that was probably a little conservative, probably 4.5 feet, so we're probably at about 3.5 feet now at best. So the boat launch really at this point is almost unusable this spring. And then, you know, of course, there's the concern with that shallow area of somebody departing our marina trying to get over to the shopper's dock.
Okay. Do we have any questions from staff or department heads? Do we have any questions from citizens? Okay, we'll move to the board. Tom, start.
That whole bay is filled with the green growth of plants. What is that? How come that's growing? Is it because it's so shallow?
It has something to do with it, yeah. The growth is different each year, and it's based on the temperatures, the amount of sunlight, the depth of the water. Over at the One Water Marina, that's really not an issue because they've got, you know, quite a bit of deep water there. The first year that One Water operated, I had it treated just like we would treat our own marina. And it didn't really seem to make a difference. So the last 2 years, we have not treated it, and I've not gotten any complaints over there.
No, I see this as a win-win-win situation. We got grant money that we need to use, that we've already been through the process of keeping that active, correct? We got an engineering firm in contract with us that has been representing us. We get grant money, 100% grant money to dredge on the shortest time possible. I mean, the state wants to move fast, that's amazing.
They don't want to give us money fast, but they said we can move fast.
Well, that's good enough. That's okay. We get it back. I mean, it's a need, and it's something we've been talking about for years, and we get, I think, how much, $130,000 is the grant money that we get all new docks with, and the new shopping dock is being replaced?
The new shopper's dock and the current fixed docks will either be ramped floating or fixed adjustable.
And that money is?
I believe it's up 100, is it between 105 and 130, and I don't remember
somewhere
the exact
there. Okay.
Number.
Okay. Again, it's back to staff has done a great job of putting everything in place so that we can act when we need to act. The state's coming through. Our engineering firm that is under contract with us is coming through. I mean, I think it's go time. I'm in full support of all three proposals. And I have no problem with you issuing the, skipping the bid process, because basically it's still a bid process. You're going out and soliciting companies that do this through the engineering firm, and you're still getting a low bid and doing it legitimately and legally. And I commend you for doing a good job, and let's move forward.
Laura?
Yeah, a couple of questions. Is the $105,000 for dredging going to be enough? Do we know, or?
That's based on 3,000 cubic yards.
Okay.
At a rate of $35 per yard. The estimate of the 3,000 yards is something that I came up with the help of Abbott Marsh, and
right.
The $35 per cubic yard is something that the state came up with.
Okay.
They will not give us any additional funds if it's not enough.
All right, and how long is this grant available till? In other words, if there's no dredging between May 15th and July 15th and we don't do it before the season, it's still available then till after the season, like September, October?
They still don't have all of the details worked
right.
out. They're still
okay.
scrambling, trying to pull it all together to push through legislation. But I would have to think that it's still available. Because if we were to allow the state to come in and administer this project for us, they would be looking at a 1 to 2 year process. So I don't think that they expect us to go by a different set of guidelines.
Right. Is there any advantage to, like, kind of contacting other communities? Like, I see East Jordan's on there and Petoskey, who also received grants through this. So would the any advantage of teaming up and... with the same people that they're using or anything like that?
I checked into that on a local basis because the Harbridge is doing some dredging. The Landings is looking at dredging, although
okay.
we're not looking until do anything until the fall or possibly next spring. We met with the person doing the dredging at the Harbridge, and basically the only savings that you would really see is in bringing the equipment down, because they'd already be down here, but not in the cost per cubic yard
okay.
or anything right. like that.
Okay. I just wondered if there might be a help there.
You'd be talking about, if there was a savings at all to see, maybe $1,000.
Yeah,
times.
Okay, so it's just minimal. All right. Let's see. Have we done, you mentioned in your notes that we've done dredging in the past. Out here? How long ago was that?
It was in about 2001.
Okay, and?
The permit was filed in 2000. I believe the dredging was done in 2001.
Okay, and did we have core samples at that point in time when we did
yes.
that before?
Yes.
So they probably haven't changed a whole lot, I wouldn't
probably
think?
Probably not. The samples are only good as far as the DEQ is concerned for 10 years.
Okay.
And
we're just past the 10.
New samples, but there hasn't been any type of development that would change
right.
that. So
right.
I anticipate the results to come back the same.
Okay, and then my other reading on the Great Lakes levels, water levels, they're still predicting them to drop further. They don't anticipate them coming back to any level that they were in the past. And you said 13.5 feet would be the max that they can dredge?
That's all... That they will pay for.
That's all they'll pay for. I was just wondering if the prediction is correct, that based on climate changes and whatnot, that we can anticipate this going further down the road. We might want to maybe dredge some areas that are really necessary, like you said, where the ramp is for the boat launch, and other areas maybe make sure they're at least 13.5 feet, maybe even a little greater if we could. Just to anticipate any more water loss for the next couple of years.
With the size of our current slips, the largest vessel we can handle is 60 foot. Chances of them drafting anything more than 9, 10 feet is pretty slim.
Okay.
So as long as we keep some of the outer docks at a good depth, we should be fine.
Okay. All right. I think that's about all I had for questions. Okay.
Thank you, Laura. Mm-hmm. Derek?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to piggyback on Laura's first question, which was one of mine, the $105,000. I think we tell them you have $105,000 to work with, not subject us to potential overages. Say, here's what you got, and is there a price difference between the two types of sediment, whether they have to store it? Does that affect the price at all?
Yes. If the samples came back with certain toxins and things, it would require it to go to a type 2 landfill, and that would certainly increase the cost. It's not my intent to go over the $105,000.
Right.
We'll dredge what we can with that amount of money.
Okay.
So based on what you're talking about, timelines for application and their time ban on when they can do it. This probably will not be done by this voting season, correct?
Oh, I'm hoping that it is. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that I can get this application in. I've spoken with Roxanne Merrick, who is our contact at the DEQ.
Mm-hmm.
She told me to go ahead and submit the application to her, even though I don't have the samples. And they would start the review process, provide her with as much information as I can, when I anticipate getting the samples, when I anticipate getting the results. Normally what would happen is if I submitted the application without it being fully complete, they would either return it and say, send it back when you have everything, or they would start to review it, see that there's missing information, stop the process, and say, we'll start the process when you get us the information. She's willing to work with us, knowing that everybody's scrambling.
Mm-hmm.
It's their intent to process these as fast as they can as well. The samples, I've talked to a couple different people who said that, they think that they've figured out ways to get us all the samples that we need. What we run into is because we bubble the marina, some of the areas where we need samples they can get to because it's open water. Another spot where they need to take a sample, there's plenty of ice where they could actually be on the ice, bore through it. It gets iffy when they're on the thin ice, of course.
Mm-hmm. And we have no idea what we're committing ourselves to as far as cost to obtain these samples?
I don't know at this point. My best guess would be maybe $10,000 tops. That doesn't include those structural borings, which would be needed for moving forward with the overall marina plan. But in order to expedite this, I think that we go forward with getting the sediment samples and deal with the borings later, even though there might be a little additional cost to bring somebody back in.
Yeah, I concur with that, and that's still in the potential stage. It's not a definitive at this point, so use taxpayer money on something that may happen, but it could be done down the road. Nothing solid from them on, you said, about mentioning relaxing the standards for approval. Did they give any feedback on that? A little more concrete?
From the DEQ?
Yeah. For the review of the plan. You said they normally take 90 days.
They have 90 days.
Right.
It's their intent to expedite those and move them through and process them as fast as possible. But she can't give me a date. She won't give me a date. She just said that they're aware of the issue and they will process them as fast as possible. When we talked about the window of spawning, which is the May 15th through July 15th, she said that they will look at each permit application, each case, as it comes through to see if they can relax that timeline. An example would be East Jordan. They're not dealing with just low water. They actually have, land above water.
Right.
Well, there's no spawning that's going to happen there. So they can easily relax the dates for them. She she said that they'll look at it, but there's no guarantees.
And we have the proper budget in place for the sediment price, sediment sample?
There is money in the budget for engineering, for professional services.
Right.
So there's funds in there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm just curious on the time. I'm wondering how this is going to happen. Because this is our... This winter is where we're at. It's warm up, now we're going to get another cold, and the ice is going to continue. And by the time you get ice out, you can get a dredge in here. What you said, you've been in conversation with some of the private marinas. What are they hearing? Is they have to go through the same process, correct?
Well, yes and no.
Or is it because of a grant issue?
The maintenance dredge permit is good for 5 years.
Okay.
Your sediment samples are good for 10 years. So in case of the Harbridge, they already had their samples within the 10-year time frame, so they were good on that. They submitted their permit application. It was processed in less than 45 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they were real good, you know, working with the Harbridge.
Mm-hmm.
It helps when an area has been previously dredged. They're familiar with it. Most of the area that we're talking about here has been previously dredged, mm-hmm. and they are aware of that. They are aware... they've pulled the old files, so they were aware of what the samples came back as back in 2000. So I see them taking all of that into consideration when they look at a current permit application.
Okay. So beyond the $500 dredge permit application fee and the sediment sample results that have to be with this, what other potential funding mechanism that, like, you know, they said, tell us, go ahead and we'll catch up to you later?
Well, there's going to be some engineering costs.
Yeah. What those are the numbers that I want to hear. What are we looking at that we're theoretically going on a limb, but realistically it will probably be covered. But what's our initial outlay looking beyond those two costs?
I don't know.
So you're waiting to get these.
Right.
Other
I just found out that
okay.
we received the money, what, less than 2 weeks ago,
okay.
and I found that out by accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I said, they're down at Lansing, they're scrambling. The person that I normally work with hasn't been able to return my calls, but he sent somebody else to call me to give me some information, because they're just every day, mm-hmm. they're meeting with different people, with what, you know, legislators, mm-hmm. trying to figure all this out, and... they're actually talking about, for communities that are very strapped for funds, normally it's always a reimbursement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after, you know, you spend so much, it's reimbursed. They're talking about fronting like $25,000 at a time to some of these communities, but they won't do it until after, they can't do it until after it's went through legislation.
Right. Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we should wait on that section right there till you get those numbers and so we know what our exposure is beyond the on the upfront money. That's.
Would you repeat that?
Yeah, what I meant was Barb's gonna ask me for permission from the board to solicit professional services for the boring or sediment samples,
mm-hmm.
and you know, looking at see what our exposure is financially without knowing this, because she doesn't know what those numbers are, and then also for engineering costs and that type of thing. So is there any way to try to get that, you know, before we go forward with the whole project or all three phases?
So would you want to call a special board meeting to approve it?
Well, I'm asking what are our options, and, you know, I just want to make sure that we're not overcommitting, and then all of a sudden, uh-oh, the funding came through, and we've, you know, spent taxpayer money.
Okay, well, here's
preliminary, so feedback is more than welcome on that.
I know we're trying to think on our feet here,
sure.
But one of the things is, too, is that the... Well, I'm going to call it the trust factor, but
right.
we look at our, mm-hmm. you know, our cost of doing business for the year, was $112,000. We took in $125,000, and the marina turned a profit this year. Right. So I think to scramble and do this as expediently as possible, there has to be a trust factor in it. That, and I'm sure, you know, with email and everything else, they'll get back to us immediately if there's right. any red flags go up. So yeah, I don't see anything to hold up the process today, but I certainly concur with you. Sure. We want to know what the cost of doing business is.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. The citizens will, you know, may want to know, obviously, it's their money.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's a political side of it, too, and I think... maybe even Martha could weigh in on what, you know, she's our legislative representative mm-hmm. for Mr. Walker, and I don't know mm-hmm. if you've got anything to share with us, too, as far as how they're scrambling.
They are very much
and
scrambling.
And the intent.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that the intent, I mean, it's going to go through, it's just that, you know, in anything like this, it takes a lot of, there's a lot of details, because like Barb said, you know, you've got your small business mm-hmm. communities that can't afford this right now. I've got communities that can't afford money. Things that are going all in favor, you know, this. And I guess each mm-hmm. community, when I go and hear these mm-hmm. discussions at the different levels and the different communities in Emmett and Charlottesville County, it boils down to is, you know, is it a need that you have to have? And, you know, sure. said, I was just going to say the same thing, is the trust that it's going mm-hmm. to happen. And it will happen, but it may not happen on the time frame that you need it immediately. But, you know, mm-hmm. if it's going to be done before your need comes for the economics of Boyne City come the mm-hmm. summer, you know, you have to balance that out. And if it's needed for the economics in the summer, then, you know, mm-hmm. you got to go out on a limb. You know, because I know that the Senate and the mm-hmm. House and the Governor are all really pushing to try to get this to work for everybody mm-hmm. and the DEQ. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't, you know, government doesn't work as quickly as commissions sometimes, you know, because there's too many factors and too many people. Mm-hmm. But that would be my response to that.
Barb?
As far as the dredging, the only thing that I'm really asking for today that is of any cost is the permit application, mm-hmm. which is $500. Sure. And that application, if it's approved, that permit is approved, that is good for 5 years. So mm-hmm. it's not money mm-hmm. wasted, whether we okay. use it this year or we use it 2 or 3 years down the road. As mm-hmm. far as cost of the samples, mm-hmm. that's going to come back to you. I hope to work on it over these next 2 weeks, and it'll come back at the next mm-hmm. commission meeting for approval before any money is spent mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm.
Just to clarify, so the sediment samples are or are not required for the permit application process?
They are required as a part of that.
Okay.
She's not making me submit that.
At the same time as the $500 payment?
That is correct. Okay. She's anticipating,
I guess where I was a little confused.
She's anticipating that that will come on the heels of submitting the application.
Okay. All right. Mr. Mayor, Mike had a question.
No, I was going to bring up the same points that just came up in this conversation, so I think I'm good.
All right, very good. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gene?
Well, being our lake and our marina, I believe is most definitely the biggest economic gas that the city has. And that being said, this dredging has to be done. The only question I had was on the cost and the placement of the sediment and the dredge materials, and you've answered that for me, so you did a good job, Bob.
Well, I'm pretty much, well, I am in agreement that time is of the essence, and I think Commissioner Needhammer stated it very succinctly. We need to, it's a win-win-win situation, and we need to allow our city manager and our team to get these documents prepared and signed and move forward. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think it's we need to have a motion to cover this. It's a three-part motion. So
I do have one other minor question. When we start dredging, or when that should start the process, how long does that take for our area? A week or two, or would that be the anticipated time?
I would say a couple weeks.
Yeah, okay.
Depending on the amount.
All right.
One more follow-up.
Oh, okay.
One more follow-up, and that was regarding the section about along we have a march to submit a joint MDEQ USAC app for marine renovation. That's not tied to the future overall project. That's just for the shopper dock repair.
We are scaling that back.
Okay.
It was initially the overall plan. Mm-hmm. Basically a revised version of what was submitted back in 2008, but to expedite the maintenance issues that we have to address with the grant money, we're scaling that back to just include the things that are necessary. I did bring a map of the proposed overall plan that's still being tweaked some, if you want to look at it as well. That will come back at a later date for discussion, and then future new application that will go through a public hearing through the DEQ.
I should mention that up on the wall now is the area of the fixed docks highlighted. That is scheduled as part of this repair process or updating process. The other area is the shopper's dock extension down here at that end. Those are the only two components that are being prepared at this point.
I just wanted that clarified for the record.
Yep.
Everybody was clear that we're not agreeing to waive, saying this permit tells us we're going to have to build all the other things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
correct.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're ready
to make a motion that we approve all three recommendations as stated, or as presented. And number one is the allow Avermarch to send a joint MDEQ USAC application for marina renovation on its behalf. Second one is approve the city manager to sign and submit a joint permit application to the MDEQ USAC for maintenance and dredging within the harbor at a cost of $500. And number three is allow staff to solicit proposals for this professional service without going through a formal bid process as allowed by the city charter and bring a recommendation back to the city.
One second. Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Okay. Next item today is good of the order. And Laura, would you like to start on that?
Good of the order. I just have one comment or thing I was thinking about when I walked in today, and we had discussed rearranging this setup a little bit so that we can maybe see each other easier and a little better, more intimate discussion type feeling, putting up some artwork on the walls or changing things around a little bit. So I guess I'd like to see us maybe do something other than this formal long table. I personally like to see the person that's speaking, and see their... I use body language a lot and expressions a lot to convey what the person is actually saying and feeling, and I can't see everybody down there when they're speaking, and I'm not real well of hearing out of one ear, so I have to really strain sometimes, and I think just intimately, if we can do a sort of a semicircle or an angle or something like that, if we need, we don't need all of this seating. I mean, it's not always full up. Most of the time. Sometimes we'd maybe have to go back to this formation, but if we can kind of look at different configurations, I know it's a minor issue, but something to think about.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Derek?
Just have a question on a follow-up on something Mike had mentioned earlier, and that was researching on the healthcare issue as far as... appeared contradictory to what Corte Swim has been telling you, and I'd like to have the update you have for us, what's available on that.
Currently, we've reached out to three firms, three additional firms,
okay,
that are in the process of giving us quotes. We've provided them census information on our employees.
Sure.
One of them was that joint, that Western Michigan Healthcare Alliance that I mentioned at our last meeting. That
okay. I didn't have the name of it, so Western Healthcare Alliance?
I'll have to double check it. It was something similar to that, but it's based out of Grand Rapids.
Okay.
And we submitted the information to them and to two other firms that we've become aware of.
Okay.
Since this process started. So we're hoping, I would hope we'd have something back by, at least from a couple of them, by our next meeting. But we're, we've met with our employees. I've been keeping the unions up to date that we're working on this information. One is with the Michigan Municipal League, who apparently is working with the City of East Jordan as well, too, through their Meadowbrook Insurance, that they have an opportunity to look at it. One was a group that we talked about, and there was another group, and I'm trying to remember his name. I've got his card on my desk. But anyway, so those are well in the works. It seems like we keep looking for it and finding additional options to check out. So the first one that I was trying to remember the name of is the firm that the Allied Ambulance up in Petoskey used to go. There was a gentleman from downstate. I can't remember his name off the top. But they ended up going with him as well. And I should also mention, too, the mayor and I had the opportunity to attend a conference, or basically a business forum that they call the Business Leaders Forum, that McLaren Northern Michigan Hospital put on. I don't know if that was last week or 2 weeks ago. But anyway, their CEO was speaking, and after the meeting, the opportunity to ask her if they're going to be providing a new insurance product. And they are looking to it. They had one of their representatives contact me. They're working it through the rate approval process with the state. So they're thinking that will be coming out late this summer or fall, and they promised to get back to it in touch with us when they can. So wherever there's an opportunity, we're trying to track it down.
Okay. Just to follow up, because I don't recall the representative's name from Cortez Flynn that said that could not be done, that there's, you know, the employee ID number, they could not be two different ones under the same. Could you research and provide us, at least for me, the law that they're referencing that says that can't happen? I mean, I think that's important. I mean, I'm not saying that they're misleading, but I would like to have the law that says you cannot join two entities or create a consortium or something to that effect with a separate, you know, a separate board, similar to like CC, that's a separate. Each county has their own representative. They have a separate voting. They have an opt-out. So if the citizens say we don't wish to participate anymore, an opt-out. I'd like to look at the end of the day, it's what does the law say you may or shall not do with regards to this. And, and obviously we have to and will follow the law. But and I understand they want to keep our business. If I was under Cortez Flynn, I would as well. But I mean, I think it's imperative for our taxpayers and employees of the city that we fully exhaust all possible options, and maybe that means thinking outside the box. And what does the law allow the creation of a separate board? For as we know, the more numbers you have, the better rates you're going to get. That's, you know, the county has better rates, and they're with the same company, so. Mm-hmm. If you could research those questions and bring it back to at least me and part of the rest of the board, I'd appreciate that.
Sure, I'll see what I can find out on that.
Okay.
And I just want to mention that it was Cortez Flynn, and I'm trying to remember who the other insurance, because there were two companies that we talked to that told us the exact same thing until we found out, and there was another training session that I was at where I heard about this other option, and I said, okay, that doesn't square with what I've heard before.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So... And obviously, if they're moving forward, and that also, the last comment on that, on this thing out of Grand Rapids, if you could find out what entities are involved in that. I mean, is it townships or is it like East Grand Rapids, Grand, you know, who's involved in that mechanism? And that may be along the lines of what I'm thinking of, looking at establishing or forming or the possibility of.
Yeah, I had some of that conversation when I had a first, and I'll research it and see if I can track that down.
Okay.
My recollection was larger communities closer towards the Grand Rapids area. Mm-hmm. It seemed like we would have been like the furthest north to consider it, but I'll see what I can find out. I don't think there are any townships, but I'll have to double check to see what other organizations were involved.
Okay. But there are different public entities that are part of that group, so.
It certainly sounds like it,
that's,
yeah.
That's the critical factor here,
yep.
So. All right, thank you, Mayor. That's all I have today.
Gene?
Yeah, I got a question for Jim. Gene, we've got a little more favorable weather this year. I was wondering if the Sunset Park ice rink, how that was working out. If it's being used
that,
a lot.
That would probably come to me, Gene.
Okay.
It worked out. It was used over the holidays, but during the wintertime, it's not been, it doesn't get a lot of use. Mm-hmm. The winds are, you know, are pretty bad. We've had a lot of snow, so keeping the ice, you know, a good surface, it's, you know, we would have to look hard at whether or not we would have that again next winter.
That's what I was wondering. Thanks.
Would it, can I interrupt on that? Would it be advisable to maybe have a place up at Avalanche to use an additional rink for smaller children, like little kids that maybe don't want to be on the main rink?
Might be. I don't see an
optional use.
There to know if the kids, if there's a problem that needs to be addressed or not. But
yeah, like if they have a hockey game or something, there would be an alternative space that.
Yeah, I don't believe they allow hockey on that.
They don't.
Any longer.
Oh, no. Okay. No.
No hockey allowed.
Oh.
No sticks, no
bikes. Okay.
Maybe we could if we have the alternative skating.
Maybe. Okay.
John?
Two things. In regards to the health care insurance, all the talk shows are recommending reading the 38-page investigative reporting in Time magazine this week. It's quite revealing. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Like I said, it doesn't matter your political affiliation. It's a must read. I'm halfway through it, but it's not very encouraging. And
what's the article?
It's about health care, the cost of health care,
right.
Which indirectly affects us as a mm-hmm. provider, but it's more or less the article is why health care costs so much in America.
Mm-hmm.
But on a different topic, back to, you know, should we keep Kirtland on the agenda? And I guess... should we keep a lot of different topics on the agenda, which is kind of anything that's kind of in Mike's inbox, should we have a vehicle for him to report back to us? For example, every month I ask about facilities,
mm-hmm.
and you said you met with the architect, so maybe nothing more than a paragraph to say, I met with the architect and here's some things. Another example would be... You said there was some waterway grant money and some recreation grant money. And again, just report back and say, you know, here's an update on those two. So I guess anything that's, and it could be in the manager's report, or maybe we create a line item. I don't think we need to create a line item, but just, and you do a great job with communicating us through emails throughout the week, but... that's all I'm getting at is that some updates. Does that make sense? I don't want to burden you with just information that's not relevant, but maybe if we get a, you know, I wrote down on the waterway grant, the recreation grant, Kirtland, the facilities, cat development. Is anything happening there? Just whatever's on the inbox.
Let me give that some thought and think about what the best way to communicate is. I try and bring things when something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, if there isn't something I report on, there usually isn't much that's, you know, there may be a bunch of stuff happening behind the scenes, but there isn't anything that I felt was newsworthy enough to report on or coalesced enough to where it's come to something. But let me give it. I can give that some thought,
yeah.
And try and figure out exactly.
And I appreciate that it may not be newsworthy, but on the other hand, it's like, what is happening with facilities or cat development or, so, just food for thought.
Yeah. No, and if there's additional information or things that you're thinking that, you know, there is more information that's necessary, I'd be help me to know that too, so I know that I'm giving you what you're looking for and that what you need to make informed decisions as well as regard that.
And
so,
and where it plays in the Kirtland is maybe you don't, it does not need to be an agenda item, but it could be a sentence that there is no movement on Kirtland. There has been so many communications. They have been operational, you know, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Under any report that you want to make, mm-hmm. would be an example.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Me too.
Keeps us in the loop a little better.
That's all.
Maybe just be under good of the order.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to figure out whether it can, you know, whether if there's an appropriate way to put it into the manager's report or some other report or something of that nature. So, let me play with that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If I could kind of touch on something that Commissioner Needhammer brought up. Got me thinking on the actual agenda, our agenda. What is the mechanism for determining what makes it on there and what doesn't make it on there? For example, if somebody wanted to be on the agenda, what is the process that goes through to determine whether they make it on there or not? And is there maybe some way where we could have is it an application process or a submission, and where there's a review where we could get some feedback? This ties in with Fisher and me, and we brought, like, I had this individual or this entity wanted to be on the agenda to talk about what was important to them, and I recommended that or indicated that not at this time, and here's why. You know, a little more of the transparency type thing, so people know who wants to get on here and what is our current process, and can we look at doing something like that as well? Kind of open that up a little bit.
Yeah, that issue's come up probably once other, about 5 years ago, and they're basically the process is anything that gets on the agenda is approved by the city manager. If it's if there's items that are not put on the agenda that someone requests,
sure.
The commission is informed of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that they know that somebody's made a request and been put on it. Nobody has a right to put anything on the agenda.
Mm-hmm.
It's the commission's agenda, but
sure,
everybody has a right to come and, you know, kind of as a safety valve or a check and balance in that process.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we make sure we have the citizens' comment. And at that time, mm-hmm. if there's something that the commission wishes to add to the agenda of that meeting or future meetings, you know, that's perfectly. That's it's your meeting. It's obviously
right.
your call to do that or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if it's important enough, we could actually add it to the end of the agenda.
Oh yes, I mean we have done that in the past. The only time we've kind of refrained from things of that nature is just the commission always likes to have things. Generally, likes to have things on the agenda so that not only the commission's aware of it, the staff's aware of it, but the public's aware of it. So they want to speak kind of pro or con. But there have been instances where things have come up. Either after the agenda's gone out, or that and this has been rare, but where something needed to be added on that was added to the agenda
mm-hmm.
At the time.
Mm-hmm.
But also, then also we get into adding things to the agenda to make sure it's fair for everybody, to make sure they have time to think it through and ask any questions and things of that. That's kind of why we kind of try to avoid last-minute changes to the agenda, unless there's a really good reason that everybody's comfortable with and kind of weigh those pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a real rough outline. I mean, Laura was involved in some discussions with that with me when
mm-hmm.
she first came on board the commission.
Mm-hmm.
We had some concerns at that time, or there were some concerns expressed. A lot of it tied back to the waterworks building
mm-hmm.
process.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some confusion, and I think
mm-hmm.
that regards to some individuals that were involved in that process, but it all, I think, other than that one blip,
mm-hmm.
and we did have, boy, probably about 8 or 9 years ago, we had one person in the community that basically wanted to, she wanted to be on the agenda every time or something
mm-hmm.
of that, and the commission wasn't keen to have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
They basically said, okay, you talk to the call of the public, things of that nature, or you have your 5 minutes, but you know, this is our agenda. And we just had that question recently with regards to Devlin as well, too,
right.
where they recently indicated that they wanted to be put on the agenda and
mm-hmm.
Chosen not to.
Yeah, I was just looking as an overall, it's probably a question I shouldn't have had earlier on, but, you know, if you get through the process, and I've never, like, seen, like, hey, we've had these three people wanting to be on there, and I've either denied them for this reason, or because of time constraints, and for that very reason, for discussions, okay, not everything can happen every time. And that's understandable. Just some sort of mechanism so we're aware of who at least is coming in and calling you and wanting to be on there prior to actually being spoken out at a meeting in public.
And that's what I try and do, and it happens very, very rarely. I can, and if I had to throw a percent at it, it'd be less than 5%, or, you know, I'm thinking like 1 or 2% or something like that. It's very, very rare. So it really hasn't been an issue or a problem other than, you know, we have individual cases where, you know, somebody thought they should have been on the agenda or would have liked to have been on the agenda.
So everybody, we're all comfortable with how we're doing it now, or?
I am.
So there's nobody that, I guess I want to make sure that there's a point where there's nobody that comes to you that's denied that we don't know about at any point.
No, that was a concern that was expressed a few years ago, and I've tried to make sure that when somebody comes and asks to be on the agenda that the commission's aware of it and understands the rationale for it, and if they don't agree, that's, you know, that can be changed.
Sure.
Yeah, and I think, too, going back, if my memory serves me right, there were a number of people in the community who were saying, you know, I want to get on the agenda, and I'm never getting on the agenda, and that I think was a little bit of an exaggeration on their part. I don't think that was all in truth. I think some of them at the last minute, the day before the meeting, they wanted to be on the agenda, and they were told no, they can't get on at this point, and, you know, for whatever reason. But I think, you know, Mike has been doing a very good job reporting back on any of those. And there hasn't been anything out there that I've heard, and I hear a lot. And I'm in contact with a lot of people in the community, and I have not heard one instance since then of not anyone being on the agenda who wanted to be there.
All right.
So. It just was piggybacked into what part of what Commissioner Lee Hammer said as far as notification. And
I'll let you know.
That's why I asked you. Thank you.
I will hear it.
A couple of things. The first thing is, a question for Mike, have we actually hired the architect yet or picked one out for the facilities?
No, that's an item that has to come back before the city commission.
Yeah, because one of the things that I thought of, too, is like the new police cars, the new front-end loader, our unit that we use for, you know, doing the sidewalks with the holder unit. I see stuff like this is... when we design a facility that has some kind of underbody wash facility in that building, that I was looking at the holder yesterday after it came in, you know, driving through all its salt and load and different things in the vehicles, the salt just tears things up, you know, I don't know what a mini car wash would cost or a underbody wash that, you know, when we put vehicles away for the day that they're cleaned up, and how much that, you know, return there would be as far as the life expectancy of the vehicle and the use of the piece of equipment that was desalted every day.
How do you wash them now, Keith?
We don't usually wash the underbody. If we're washing them, we do wash them ourselves in the DPW garage, and once in a while we run them up to the car wash where you can get an underbody wash. But most of the time it's up here, and nobody's crawling underneath them.
Just a consideration anyway when we do our design. And
a wash bay, and we have to get into specifics about it. Specific wash bay was something that has been proposed in some of the ideas and sketches that Andy's been putting together as well, too.
Good.
So, and that's something that we talked about as well. If we're going to do something like that, is there a way to do a facility that not only serves us, but maybe a bus garage or the Charlotte County Transit or things of that nature, rather than creating three wash bays, or is there a way to share some of that resource? So.
Thank you. The other thing I had, too, is I'd like to thank Martha Radcliffe for being with us. I know you've made it to almost all our meetings, and thanks for, you know, weighing in on the legislative process going through and the marina grants for dredging. And thank you for being there. Thanks for being part of our conversation today. Next item is announcements. Our next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, March 12, 2013 at 7 p.m. and it's about 5 after 2, and I'll call for adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Or second.
Roll call.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Crunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carries.